Hey fam, thanks for listening to the Better Man podcast. This season, the podcast is brought to you by Aroga Drive, one of my favorite energy supplements. If you're looking for all-day clean energy that won't let you crash and burn, Drive is the one. Stop pounding the coffee, stop crushing the Red Bulls. Instead, take Aroga Drive one time in the morning and you're good for the rest of the day. Check it out in the show notes or visit arogadrive.com.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Better Man Podcast. My name's Adam Tarno, joined by Chris Harper. Chris, one of the last episodes, we talked about, you know, some weddings that we officiated, and I want to go back to, did you and your wife do like any sort of premarital counseling before you got married? Like a class of your church or meet with a couple?
Oh yeah, man. It was good and it was awkward all at the same time.
Say more. I want to hear, like, why was that?
Yeah. Cause you get to that night where you talk about sex and intimacy.
Yeah.
And so our leadership couple, we're in this guy's home and maybe this is good. I don't know, man. I couldn't help but laugh, but he's like, Thursday's my night. And I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, well, like my wife knows like Thursday's our intimacy night. He's like, so Thursday, like I don't lift heavy things. Like I'm light on my feet. Like I'm saving all my energy for the evening.
Wow.
And I'm like, and I'm just sitting there thinking, dear God, let me out of this man's dining room. Thursday so like night. Every week was great except for the sex and intimacy week when he led me into his what I'm just going to call sex routine. And I've known this guy for 5 weeks, right? And now I've got to see him every Sunday. And like, what if there's a church function on Thursday? Like, it's awkward now. I can't get Thursday out of my head.
Yeah. Calling roll and they're like, where's Bill? And you're like, I know where Bill is. Right
it's
now.
Thursday.
It's Thursday.
Bill ain't lifting anything over 25 pounds today.
That is so good. That is so not where I was going to go with this, but I love it. Where I was going to go is I remember one of the most practical conversations that like we did a class and we also met with a couple a few times, and it was divvy up the responsibilities. So they wanted you to pre-live that you were sharing the apartment together. And I want you to go through all of it. Who's doing the grocery shopping? Who's going to do the cooking? Who's going to do this? Who's going to do that? And I just remember how like silly it felt, but yet how practical it was. And what a great lesson it was to start looking at all kinds of preconceived notions that we had of what does it mean to be a man? What does it mean to be a woman? What's our role going to be? You know, and we were both working at the time. And so there was some sharing of responsibilities and things like that. But little did I know that we were really trying to have a conversation a little bit about some of the topics that we're going to talk about today and just some views of roles. Specifically in the church, and then some other implications, views of roles with men and women and that they have in the church. And so we got a big, big word that we're going to talk about today that if I was forced to have to spell this, I'd probably get it wrong. But what is that word we're going to discuss?
Yeah, so it's complementarianism.
Yes.
Complementarianism. And its opposite or its antithesis is egalitarianism.
Yes.
So all churches fall into one of these two categories. They're either complementarian or egalitarian. There Good. Really is no middle ground. There's no gray. And let's just start by acknowledging this is a second level issue.
Hmm.
So it's not a gospel issue.
Good.
You can be an egalitarian and be saved, and believe the gospel, and have a functioning church. You know. But it's a second level issue in that if you're complementarian, it's hard, if not impossible, to go to an egalitarian church. Hmm. And if you're egalitarian, it would be hard, if not impossible, to go to a complementarian church.
Yeah.
Because at some point, you're going to have a serious disagreement.
Yeah, that's good. And even though it's a second level, as you said, which I love that distinction right there in the front, even though it's second level, these second level ones can... You know, churches can split over those. People can choose where they're going to go or not go over that. So even though it's not a gospel issue, it still has some pretty deep implications. So let's just put a few definitions around the two, because there's probably some that are going, oh, I think I've heard these before. I've read an article about those. But
just layman's terms, how would you just define the difference between both of those?
Yeah, so the egalitarian movement or culture argues that, you know, not only is there no distinction between man and woman in the Imago Dei, right? The image of God, worthy of dignity, honor, respect, love, kindness, all those things, which I 100% agree with, no difference. Yeah. They're going to also argue that there's no difference in their roles and responsibilities. Mm. So whether that's roles and responsibilities in the home, more so roles and responsibilities in the church, roles and responsibilities in culture, they're going to argue that there is no difference, right? And egalitarianism will often intersect with feminism. It's an intersectional feminism is actually what it's called. Mm. And its consequences are dire, but you don't really see them on the surface.
Yeah. Okay. On the other side, the complementarianism would be defined how?
Complementarianism would say that there's a created biological and social order that God designed for men and women, right? Unique gender accents that typically suit a man or suit a woman for a different role or different roles in the church and in the home. But there is this created order and that the home and the church and culture functions best when it follows this order.
Okay. Good. And I think I can see like where both of those could get some people moving in the wrong direction or in different directions with all that. So what are some of the arguments that people may hear? Let's go over to complementarianism. So created order, we have this order brings different roles.
Yep.
And so where do people like, where does this get people to go, hold on, this gets me uncomfortable. I don't like that. What are some of the arguments against it?
Yeah. So we're seeing it right now. You know, the largest denomination in the West is the Southern Baptist Convention, the SBC, mm-hmm. Southern Baptist Churches, right? And there's a big split right now. There's lots of discussion over female pastors, female elders. Hmm. The SBC is a complementarian organization. That holds to God's unique design, God's unique order, that within the church, there are hundreds of biblical passages, Old Testament, New Testament passage, good hermeneutics that points to patriarchy, right? Male-led homes, male-led families, men as the only priest, right? You don't read of any female priest in the Bible, men only apostles. You don't read of any female apostles, right? Men only evangelists. Mm-hmm. Like this is a hot button one, right? But you don't, I dare anyone to send me a scripture reference of a female evangelist. Hmm. So that there were certain roles, men elders, there were certain roles that God designed, and uniquely qualified men for. And that's women hear that, especially egalitarian proponents hear that, and immediately, you know, they label you or label even God as misogynistic, that the system is corrupted. The biggest argument is it was just culture back then, right? So you're talking about the cultural then versus the culture now. And the problem with the it was just culture argument, Man, it undermines a lot of good hermeneutics, right? It undermines the plain meaning and historical understanding of key, you know, Old Testament and New Testament scriptures on both leadership, form, function, order, et cetera. And to say it was just culture back then is really saying today we don't know how to rightly interpret the Bible. Hmm. And it can undermine, and it does undermine good biblical hermeneutics.
Yeah. So my guess is like there's also those that have problems with the complementarian view. I'd go back to a couple of episodes ago that we did on why are people drawn to unhealthy leaders?
Yeah.
Because they've seen And we all have a story that we can, like a real life example that we've experienced where somebody in a leadership position completely abused that power, abused that authority, lorded it over people. And so on the surface, it can sound like the complementarian view is setting yourself up to be a doormat. We don't like, you have to submit to an authority that is not seeking the best for you, right? Am I onto something there? Is that fair that there's a little bit of fear? Probably because we've seen some misuses of this created order.
That's right. And that's what culture, that's what social media, that's what media in general does is they typically, highlight something that's not necessarily normative.
Yeah.
So they're always going to highlight the abuse of power.
Yeah.
Right. And the abuse of authority. What they don't highlight is the neglect of power or authority being neglected because authority in itself is not toxic. Like order is not toxic. Now, authority and order that has been abused is toxic, but the Bible is very clear that like authority and order and submission, like those are good and healthy things.
Yeah. Yeah.
But what culture does and what the media does is because we're always highlighting the abuse of power, you know, just as sinful as the abuse of power is the neglect of power and responsibility.
That's right.
Like we always talk about the sins of commission, but what about the sins of omission? When you should have rightly been doing something and you weren't. And that's what's plaguing men more so today. It's not this rampant abuse of power and all these alpha misogynistic, you know, Andrew Tates out there. No, it's the men that have slow quitted their masculinity. Mm-hmm. They've slow quitted their manhood. They've given up their right to be the patriarch of their home. They've given up their mantle of spiritual leadership. They've given up their inheritance as a man. And they just kind of slow quit and doing so, typically a woman fills the void.
Yeah. Yeah. Because there's something natural in all of us as humans that we just go, listen, it'd be great if there was a quarterback here. It'd be great if there was a leader here to help bring some order to this chaos. Yeah. You're talking about, there's more of that example probably out there. It's like, we're not suffering from the Andrew Tates. We're suffering from a lot of Homer Simpsons that are out there, right? That are just kind of lazy, goofy, not really living up to what it is that God wants. So I can like in a weird way, Chris, I can empathize with some of those that are very leery of complementarianism because of all the bad examples that we've had. Now, is it social media's fault or the news? Yeah, I'm sure that plays into some of it. I know for me, like what you're saying about we hear all these stories and so we just think this is all of it. Even the news, like, you know, poor Boeing right now that what they've got going on in that door that flew open in the middle of the flight. What we don't hear are the millions of flights where the doors stay shut the entire time. Right. I use this app called Flight Aware.
Yeah.
And if you want to just be shocked, like open up Flight Aware, it shows you every plane that's in the sky right now. And you're like, good night. And all of those are going to be landing. And everybody's going to get to their destination and it's not going to make the news. Right. And so, yeah, we do. We hear about some of these crazy stories and assume that or just kind of extrapolate that to all of them.
Absolutely.
So,
and we forget the story in Judges, right. Of Barak and the Lord says, hey, I need you to go defeat my enemy. You know, the glory is going to be yours. We're going to sing about you for millennia. Right. Mm. And Barak looks at Deborah and says, I can't go. I can't go without you, Deborah. Hmm. And Deborah's like, no. Like you need to. Like you lead. We're gonna follow. It's gonna be good. You know, you go get the glory. And Barak's like, oh, Deborah. You know, if you come, like we'll win.
Yeah.
And Deborah's like, listen, Barak, not. I'm going. And I'm gonna lead. And Jael is gonna drive a tent peg through this guy's head, and we're actually gonna sing about her. Instead of singing about you now, and you know, sorry about you, and I think we have more Baraks than we do Andrew Tates, that's my fear,
and that's what we're trying to do at Better Man is to try to get the Baraks to to not act like Andrew Tate, but to act like a man and be, and I know we've talked about this before, be a counter narrative.
That's right.
Like be a pebble in somebody's shoe, what you call your own personal, you know, your own personal writings that you do to be good trouble.
That's right.
That's good. We don't need to go be sensational like the Tates of the world. Let's go be good trouble. Let's be a head scratcher to people where they're like, well, crying out loud, if I had a leader like you, of course I would follow, right? Of course I would do. I would gladly fall in this created order. I see so few of you out there that I get really scared about thinking about falling in line with all that.
That's right.
This is good. Like part of what we want to do with the Better Man podcast is help equip guys to know like what are some of these conversations that are out there. This is good for us to just say what we're trying to do is we're trying to raise up more leaders around this country and so that men can be men and fulfill the roles that God has for them. What are some of the other implications of this that we want guys thinking about when it comes to this issue?
Yeah, so the biggest thing and what I'd want to drive home today is the concept of male headship. Hmm. You know, as a man, whether you're exercising headship over yourself, more so probably you're exercising headship over your wife and your children. There is a order and there is a structure that God has ordained as best. Just like Christ images God to us, we image Christ to those in our home. Mm-hmm. You and I, as husbands, as men, as fathers, we are responsible for the emotional, physical, spiritual care of our home. You know, if Jesus comes to my house today, knocking on the door, he's not going to ask to see my co-parenting plan. he's not going to ask to talk to my wife. Like he's going to want to talk to me. Mm. So in complementarianism is the idea of male headship, both not just in the home, but in the church.
Yeah.
In the church. And this idea of male headship does not mean that the wife or the woman must sit passively and endure sin or abuse or anything like that, right? As a matter of fact, if a man is exercising that type of abusive or sinful authority, the Bible calls the woman to stand up and speak out. Mm-hmm. I mean, and the church should respond. But what it does mean is headship is it's more of a responsibility than it is a right to do whatever you want.
That's good.
Right. Headship is the authority to serve and it's the opportunity to lead.
Yep.
And that's what we need. That's what we need husbands to do. And it's leading like Jesus led, which Jesus was a king, but he was a steward king. He was a servant king.
Yeah.
He said, I came, you know, not to be served, but to serve. And as men exercising spiritual headship over our homes and our churches, it's not to better us or it's not to get what we want and to do what we want, but it's actually leading and serving and loving in a way that we better all those around us. Adam, you told me one time that I use this all the time, that a great definition of leadership is having someone else's best interest at heart.
Yeah.
And I use that all the time. That's what biblical headship is, having the best interest of others at heart.
Yeah, yeah. That somebody who takes initiative for the benefit of others and then you add it and they do it over and over and over again. As I go around to marketplace leaders, I mean, that's what I do full time. I'm going around constantly talking to marketplace leaders about leadership. And when I share that with them, that idea of this is what leadership really is, because Chris, I ask people, you know, to start that exercise, I'm like, all right, I want everybody to get together and come up with 10 to 25 words that describe a great leader. Hmm. Right. And because there's this thing called implicit leadership theory, which is all of us have this idea in our mind of what a great leader should be. And that's what we aspire to. And that's how we judge other leaders. And so people come up with all these words and we put it on around the room on these, you know, the big easel paper. And I go, okay, there's a bunch of reasons I wanted to get these 50 words on here. Two reasons primarily. Number one, I want to know what you all think it means to be a great leader. So this is good, right? You guys, this is showing us some of your implicit leadership theory. This is what you all are chasing after. And then number two, I want you to feel completely and totally overwhelmed by your own words. Hmm. You know, how many of you all have met this person?
Wow.
And nobody raises their hand. And I was like, that which makes total sense because you didn't describe a human. You all described a superhero. That's who you described. These are people we dream of in movies, right? And so you have just said, you have just set a standard for yourself that you cannot attain.
Yeah.
And so you better come up with a working definition of leadership that you can attain, because as Robert Lewis says so well, if you can't define it, you won't become it.
That's right.
And so, so then when you drop that on them that, hey, what it really means to be a leader is somebody who takes initiative for the benefit of others, you can just sense this sigh of relief that goes out there. And so, Chris, I think there's just this, we've got to unlearn this subtle thing about leadership and headship, or whatever words you want to use, that a leader, and I like what you said, because you said it's a responsibility. Being a leader is not a reward for being awesome.
That's right.
And we just are so ingrained that if you're awesome, you get rewarded. And one of those things you get rewarded with is leadership. And so all the leaders are better. No, that is not the case at all.
Yeah.
It is a responsibility that can be very rewarding. If you do it with the right heart, but it is not a reward because you're somehow better. And that's where, like, my friends that are just so anti-complementarianism, that's the part where I go, I bet if I thought of a leader the same way you did, I would agree. I don't want to follow that person either.
That's right.
But would we agree if we describe a leader this way, wouldn't we both probably want to follow that person, you know? And I think all of us would go, yeah, that'd be great to have that leader that takes initiative for the benefit of others and is really humble and others focus.
Absolutely, man. When I think about, you know, an episode or two ago, we talked about marriage. Mm-hmm. You know, when I think about all the premarital classes I've done, right? I always start when I'm meeting with a new couple, I always write that phrase on the board, you know, wives submit to your husbands, mm-hmm. and husbands love your wife like Christ loved the church, right? And I asked the bride to be, you know, what word do you have a problem with in this sentence? And bro, 40 for 40, it's the word submit.
Right.
Right. So I go circle the word submit and I tell them that's actually not the word you have a problem with. The word you have a problem with is husband. And I circle that. Mm. And I look at the husband and tell him, man, when you're doing what Christ has called you to do, loving your bride like he loved the church, she has no problem submitting to
that's
you.
That's right. Yeah.
She has no problem following your lead because she knows she's following someone who has her best interest at heart.
That's right. Yes.
And the problem with, you know, bad leadership is that it's bad leadership.
Yeah.
And no one trusts it, and rightly so.
Yeah.
But when someone truly believes you have their best interest, even in the bad days, man, they can get behind you and follow you.
That's right. Because they
know you love them.
That's right. And we all have that anecdotal personal support and evidence of that, of again, the greatest leaders that we've been around. And let me expand even your view there. Just think of the best teacher you had in high school. Think of that best element. Think of that Sunday school teacher. Think of that soccer coach you had, or that cheerleading coach you had, or whatever it was, that coach did something, which was they cared about you. They saw you and they took initiative for you. And you were like, I'll listen to this person.
That's right.
And follow them anywhere because I know they have my best interest at heart. And so, all of that is good. And so,
yeah. And Adam, I want to say, like, man, women should be paid equally with men. Like I believe that.
Yeah.
I believe women should have equal opportunity in the workforce, academically. I think women are gifted spiritually.
Yeah.
There are women, gifted women communicators, gifted women teachers, gifted women writers. You know, one of my close friends is Priscilla Shire, and she's phenomenal. Like I've read Priscilla and listened to Priscilla, and I use some of her anecdotes. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's wonderful. So this is not, complementarianism does not diminish women's rights. It doesn't diminish women's gifts. It doesn't diminish women's callings, right? But what it does say is, hey, there's some biblical order to not just the home and not just the church, but to society. And when the home and church and society follow God's design, everyone is better.
Yeah.
It's better. When you get outside of that design, hey, listen, I grew up in a home where the spiritual giant in my home, the spiritual head of my home was my mom. Hmm. I would not be the man I am today without her influence.
Yeah.
Doesn't make it right. It doesn't make it what was best. God's design was for my father to have that role.
Yeah.
And when he negated it, my mother stepped in. Praise be to God, she stepped in.
Yeah.
But it doesn't make it best, right? Mm. It wasn't God's first design.
That's right.
And yeah. that's what I'm saying about complementarianism, man. We're not just going for good. Like we want better, best. We want what yeah. God has planned for us.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. I'm hearing this as not a diminishing of women at all. And I love it that you brought that up to go, hey, some of these societal topics that are out there, man, those are wrong. Right. And we need to say that's wrong. And that's not what we're talking about here. What we're really saying, what I'm hearing is a call to men to step up and lead.
That's it.
Right. Like fulfill your duty, fulfill your role, be the man after God's own heart, who is somebody who wakes up every day, as you added to that definition, do it day in and day out, take an initiative for the benefit of others.
Come on.
And just watch what happens, right? Just watch what happens. It's going to be pretty remarkable.
Yeah.
So,
good thing.
All right, Chris, good stuff as always, brother. Look forward to our next conversation. Have a good one.
Talk to you soon, boss.
Hey, brothers, if we want to finish strong, we need to start strong. And I can't think of a better way to start your day than with some encouragement from God's word. That's what Better Mornings, the Better Man Daily Devotional, is all about. Start your morning with Better Mornings and be the man God has called you to be. Check out the link in the show notes or visit betterman.com/resources and sign up for Better Mornings, the Better Man Daily Devotional.